Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty. Think of that. Power and majesty. Praise to the King. Right? Praise to the King. Lisa's devotion when she came up to pray talked about the King, and the King is mentioned several times in our worship set this morning. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. We sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever we'll love you, forever we'll stand, and nothing compares to the promise we have in you. Thank you, Jesus, that nothing compares to the promise you give us. You know, there's another song we sang recently that describes that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, and that he's slow to anger, and that he's rich in love, right? Aren't you glad the Lord is gracious, Jane? Aren't you glad he's compassionate, Scott? Aren't you thankful he's slow to anger, Dan? Aren't you glad he's rich in love, Mikey? He's rich in love. Man, if we're going to be rich, let's be rich in love, okay? The Lord has such a heart of compassion and love for us. And one of the many examples of Jesus' heart of compassion is in the sixth chapter of Mark's gospel. It's not on the screen, but it's a familiar story. Jesus and his disciples were so busy ministering to the needs of other people, they didn't even take time to eat. And these guys were getting weary. Now, Jesus was all God, but he was still all man. He got tired. These guys were tired. And the truth is, needy people can wear us out, right? Needy people can wear us out. But it's Jesus. It's not the disciples. It's not Peter or John saying, hey, Jesus, let's take a break, man. I can't go any further. Jesus is the one that said, hey, guys, we need to get away to a quiet place. I love that. Let's get away to a quiet place and get some rest. That was Jesus' idea. He was tired. So they get off in a boat, and they go on the other side of the lake, and they think, oh, this is going to be great. And they can't wait to get over there and just relax and rest and just chill. And when they get there, the people had followed them, and the hillside's filled with thousands of people. And when the disciples saw the crowds, they probably looked at them and thought, oy vey, you know, Jesus, please, send them away, you know. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus saw the large crowd, he said, oy vey. No, he didn't say oy vey. No, it says when he saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart went out to them. He just went out to them. You know, he didn't say, oh my gosh, there's more of them. His heart went out to them. He had compassion on them. You know, there's still a lot of sheep today, March 3rd, 2024. A lot of sheep wandering around without a shepherd today. And Jesus has compassion on them too. And he's put you and he's put me on this planet as his ambassadors to have compassion on those sheep. Wherever we encounter them. Right? Instead of avoiding them. Jesus didn't avoid people. But we need to show compassion for those sheep. So let's try to do a better job representing him out there, okay? Jesus' heart went out to the thousands of these people on the hillside that day because he had compassion on every one of them, not just certain ones. He didn't play favorites. Every one of them. Now, I know it's an incredible miracle what he did. You know, they talked about feeding the 5,000, but that was just counting the men. So with women and children, it was probably 10,000, 12,000 people. So what an incredible miracle to feed thousands and thousands of people with just two fish and five loaves of bread. That's miraculous. But what I want us to focus on this morning is his heart. Not the miracle, but his heart. Jesus' heart went out to the people. He looked at them. Immediately he had compassion on them because he saw them as sheep that needed a shepherd. The heart of Jesus is what we all need to show love and compassion to others. Because without that, we'll be picky We'll be complaining. We'll be, oh man, don't look in that guy's direction. He's going to ask you for a couple bucks, you know. So we need Jesus' heart to really show his love and compassion to others. We need the mind of Christ, the Bible tells us, the mind of Christ, but we also need the heart of Christ to love people well. Would you agree with that? So that's what we're going to look at this morning, the heart of Christ. The title of this morning's message is His Heart Went Out to Her. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 7. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you give us your word to look at. And your word, even though these stories are thousands of years old, they come alive and fresh new. So let this word come alive in a new way to us this morning. We may know this story, and we may think we've got all the details figured out, but make it come alive in a fresh new way. Speak to us. Give us that fresh manna we need this morning before we leave here, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to this church this morning. Amen. His heart went out to her. Now, chapter 7 of Luke's gospel starts out with the story of Jesus healing a Roman centurion's servant who was very sick. He was near death. And a centurion had heard about Jesus. Now, centurion's a Roman, right? They don't really care for the Jews much, but he heard about Jesus. So he sent some of the Jewish elders, it says, to go ask Jesus if he'd come and heal his servant. And they go, and they think, hey, this guy deserves this because he helped build our synagogue, you know, and you need to come. And Jesus agrees to go. But before he gets there, the centurion sends some other friends to tell Jesus, hey, look, I'm not worried that he come to my house. You know, he was a humble man, even though he had a position of leadership. He said, I'm not worthy for such an honor that Jesus would come to me. But tell him just to say the word from wherever he is. He don't have to lay hands on my servant. All he has to do is speak the word, and I know my servant will get healed. He said, because I understand authority. He was a man with authority. And he said, if I tell one of my guys to go do this, they go and do it. If I tell another one, come here, and they'll come here. So I get authority, and he recognizes Jesus' authority. And it says Jesus was amazed at this guy's faith, right? He was just amazed how much faith this guy had in Jesus. So the people go back to the centurion's home, and as we know from the story, the servant that was near death is completely healed. Jesus didn't have to go touch him or anything. He just spoke the word. So we want to pick up this story now in verse 11, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It said, soon afterward, some translations might say the next day, that Jesus went to this town called Nain, which is a town in the region of Galilee. It's kind of south of Capernaum and Nazareth. But soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And Luke points out she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. So we have Jesus and a large crowd about to go into this town. And we have this widow whose only son has died. And she's getting ready to go bury him. And a large crowd is with her going out of town because the Jewish custom was you buried the dead outside the city gates. So here these two different groups approached a town gate at the same time. Two large crowds on two different journeys, completely different destinations. One group's excited. They're around Jesus, the miracle man. You know, the other group is gathered around this widow in her misery. I mean, one group just heard about this Roman centurion's servant getting healed by Jesus just speaking the word. So they're excited about the power that Jesus has to heal. And they're excited about the possibilities opening up to them to have life with Jesus now, being full of wonder, full of surprise, full of power and more miracles. I mean, they're excited. The other group's sad. The other group knows that this widow just lost everything of value to her. She's a widow, so first, she lost her husband. And now death has taken her son, her only son. She's got nothing. And death is hard enough to handle when it comes to a loved one late in life. You know, when it comes to an elderly person, but when it comes early in life, to a baby, to a child, to a young person, it can be a bit harder to handle. And unfortunately, Bobby and I know the pain that comes with the loss of a child. But the good news is, we didn't really lose Amy. We know right where she is. And praise God, by faith, we know we're gonna see her again. But make no mistake about it, the pain is real. And this widow in Luke chapter 7 is dealing with the death of an only child. And there's weeping and there's deep pain in this crowd as they head to the graveyard with her. So like I said, it's two completely different crowds on two different journeys and two different destinations. But they meet just outside the village called Nain. And here's where we see the heart of Jesus. Look at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, meaning this widow, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. Don't cry. Now, that seems like an odd thing to say to a grieving mother. Crying would seem like the most natural thing to do in a situation like this. But Jesus tells her, don't cry. Get this. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still, probably wondering, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. Say, what? Are you kidding me? The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. So again, two different crowds, two different journeys, two different destinations. Both crowds just witnessed the power of heaven meet the power of death, and heaven won. This funeral is turned into a family reunion. Jesus gives her son back to her. A minute ago, this poor widow is pictured as helpless and hopeless, facing the rest of her life in extreme poverty without a husband and now no son. So she's lost her means of support in a man-dominated world at that time. And this scene in Luke 7, it should remind us all, no matter how healthy we are, eventually we all die. The gold medal Olympic athlete, the Navy SEAL, healthiest bodies all wear out eventually, some sooner than others. But eventually, this comes to an end here. And there'll be loss, and there'll be grief, and there'll be tears, and there'll be a funeral or a celebration of life service, and we can be sorry, and we can give our sympathy and prayers. We can send a card, or we could send flowers to let people know we love them, and send a cake, make them a meal, take them a meal, go visit, sit, and listen. We can help with transportation or even finances if necessary. Yet none of that really changes the tragedy or takes away the pain. And we should do all these things. But I know from my own experience that all these things happen to Bobby and I. All these good things that people are trying to help us with, but it didn't change the fact that Amy wasn't here anymore. So the pain's real, and we cry. The widow in our story, she cries, and those surrounding her cry, and why shouldn't they? And why shouldn't we? But then Jesus enters into the situation with strange words and strange actions. And at first glance, his words and his actions, they just seem like totally out of place. It's like, not now, Jesus, right? He had a habit of doing stuff like that. He tells his grieving mom, don't cry. And then he touches this open coffin thing. And you know, everybody's focused on Jesus, wondering, what's going on? What's he doing? And he speaks to this corpse. And he says, young man, I say to you, get up. That's all he did. Get up. He doesn't shout. He's not screaming. He's not hollering. He's not running back and forth, tearing his hair out, stomping the ground, wrestling in prayer. He doesn't struggle in any kind of deep spiritual warfare. He doesn't raise his voice. He simply commands this corpse to get up. What authority? What authority? And his command reverses the power of darkness and death. His command turns this funeral procession into a family reunion, right? Between this mother and her son. And this would be a great place to just end the story and send it to Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, because we love stories like this, don't you? I love these stories. We love these power encounters, you know, where the power of God's just boom. Miraculous healings, signs and wonders, miracles. Man, I want to see them here, don't you? I want to see them here. We love how the Red Sea parted. We love how fire came down from heaven on Mount Carmel. We love the story of how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down and everybody raised up a shout. We'd love to somehow package that power with the right prayers and combine it with the faith that can move mountains or at least shake a few hills once in a while. And see, the problem with our story here is that there's no mention of the widow's faith. Do you notice that? Doesn't say anything about what she believed. There's no prayers offered that we know about. This grieving mom, she doesn't even make any request of Jesus. And apparently none of the neighbors that were with her did either. They're going their way and they're going to let this crowd go by. You'd think one of them say, hey, that's Jesus. Maybe he can help us. It doesn't say that. Nobody asked her what she believed. How strong is your faith, woman? No prayers being offered. Jesus takes the initiative. She didn't ask for anything from him, but he takes the initiative because of his compassion for her. It says his heart went out to her, right? His heart went out to her, and a miracle took place. But I think there's something more important than the miracle. And don't miss this. The main issue for Luke writing this, I don't think it's Jesus' power, but it's his compassion. His compassion for hurting people. It's not simply that a mighty miracle took place, but why this particular miracle took place, even though no one was asking for it. Let me read, Jesus' heart went out to her. Now, I could be wrong, but I think that's the main focus of these verses. I've read this story before several times, but this time when I was going over and looking at my notes and researching certain things, those words just seemed to stand out. His heart went out to her. Luke's telling us Jesus cares about little people in big ways, right? Man, he cares about you, Chase. He cares about me. He cares about all of us. That should give every one of us more hope this morning. That this group of people, as few as we may be, God cares about every one of us as much as he cares about thousands somewhere else, right? It doesn't matter. Jesus works in messy and difficult situations, doesn't he? He works in dark and hard circumstances because he cares, because his heart goes out to us. Sometimes we wonder, where are you, Jesus? Where are you when I really need you? I've had those same questions. And this widow, this grieving mom, she's restored to a place of protection and safety and provision now by Jesus giving back her son. He blesses this widow with hope for the future now. And it's not her faith. It's not her prayer. It's not her expectation that explains why Jesus did what he did for her. It's his heart. It's his compassion for her. The Apostle Paul, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ. That's incredible. Think about that. We have the mind of Christ. Oh, my gosh. But we also need the heart of Christ. Amen? We need his heart because his heart went out to her. I love that. I think that's the main point here. His heart went out to her. And when you think about it, that's where a person's most intimate and personal, intense emotions are located, right? In here, in our hearts. Especially emotions of care and love and concern for others. Because when a person's deeply moved, it's not up here, it's in their heart, right? But we're not talking about just any person, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God's only son and about his intimate and intense emotions as he encounters this widow at the town gate, this grieving mom going to bury her son, her only son. And I think this Luke chapter 7 story, it's not about finding a quick fix. It's not about a resurrection in a can or some sort of miracle on the run. We're dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. And when we deal with Jesus, we're dealing with God Almighty, El Shaddai. Not some great teacher, not some great prophet, but Jesus. Because in Jesus, we're invited to search God's heart and find that deep compassion and love that he has for every one of us. And in Jesus, we're invited to see God's desire to come close and to share life with us. Is this making sense? He wants to tabernacle with us, right? He wants to make his home in our hearts. Isn't that wild? Of all the places he could choose to live, he wants to live in here? That's wild. He wants to dwell, to abide, to live in our hearts so he can draw near to the center of our brokenness and our pain and be present to heal our wounds and our fears and our struggles and our sins and all the doubts of our lives. See, in Jesus, every one of us are invited to celebrate God's willingness to pay the price for intimacy with us. He wasn't forced to do it. He was willing to pay that price, that terrible price of the cross and all of its agony, something we'll never, ever fully comprehend this side of heaven. The Lord's gracious and compassionate, right? He has a heart full of compassion. And that's so important to remember. I need to remember that because sometimes in the midst of our difficulties, sometimes when we're really hurting, we won't be able to see the amazing thing God's doing because we're too caught up in what's happening. And sometimes in all the noise and the confusion and the pain and the chaos and the fear, we won't sense the restoration that he's doing. And sometimes like John the Baptist, in the very next story in Luke 7, sometimes all we have are questions without any answers. I hate those times, don't you? A lot of questions, but no answers. And that's especially when we need to give our full attention to the heart of God that's displayed in the life of Jesus. We need to know that what Jesus did for the widow, he makes real for each one of us in his death and in his resurrection. Because he restores us. He renews us. He renews us with new life. He renews our hope. And he gives us a future. He guarantees a time is coming when death will be no more. Amen? Death will be no more. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. A time is coming when crying and suffering and pain and sorrow will be done away with. One day, God is going to right all the wrongs of our world. One day, everything will be made new. And with each day that passes, we get one day closer. Ain't that right, Miss Josie? We get one day closer. And if we get tomorrow, we'll be one day closer. And here, in chapter 7, Luke, he gives us a glimpse of what's in God's heart. It's love. And it's life, and it's healing, and it's restoration, and it's renewal, and it's mercy, and it's grace, and it's compassion. And chapter 7 shows us life can be sad and ugly and cruel and evil and hopeless, and it can wound us deeply. But this chapter also shows us the involvement of God's hand and even more of his heart. He's the same God. So the message should be clear. Because of God's heart for us, you and I live in a world where resurrection takes place. Because of God's heart, life will be finally and forever win out over death, praise God. And we too, like the crowd in this story who witnessed the heart of God displayed by Jesus, we can be filled with awe and praise God and declare that God has come to help his people. Look at verse 16 and 17. They were all filled with awe and praise God. A great prophet has appeared among us. He's a whole lot more than a great prophet, folks. Then they said, God has come to help his people. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. News about a dead guy sitting up and talking would spread pretty quickly around here too, wouldn't it? See, when we're aware that God has come to help us, like these people were, then awe and praise is the only proper response. When God visits his people, it disturbs our neatly wrapped packages of church life and how we think it should start and finish and end and all that stuff. But you know, have you ever noticed when God interrupts us, it's never at a convenient time? It's never convenient. Why do you got to do this now, God? You know, but we need to be willing to obey. Do it his way instead of ours. So when he visits, it just messes up our neatly wrapped formulas of how we want things to turn out, our plans, our agendas. And when God visits his people, things change. There's awe and praise because now we're part of God's plan and purposes too. And we should be in awe and we should praise him because our hearts are coming into rhythm with his heart. And that's good. Oh, that's really good. And it's right and it's holy. And what starts out as just a little seed of faith planted in here will surely grow and blossom and bear fruit, fruit that'll last 30, 60, even 100 times of what was sown in that good soil of our hearts. Just like Jesus' heart went out to the widow in great need in Luke chapter 7, his heart goes out to every one of us in our need this morning. And I hope we too can all leave here today filled with awe and praising God because we too can say God has come to help his people at Joy Christian Fellowship. He's gracious and compassionate, isn't he, Lisa? Oh, and he's slow to anger and he's rich in love. And his heart goes out to you and to you and to you and to you and to me, and to all of us, to every one of us this morning. So, what is your greatest need this morning when you walked in those doors? What did you walk in here with? What do you think is your greatest need this morning? Because whatever it is, Jesus knows what it is, and he really cares. And his heart goes out to you right now, right here. Wow. Isn't that an awesome reality? Yes, Bob, it sure is. It is. I mean, think about that. The heart of Jesus goes out to every one of us here, right now, right here. I hope you believe that this morning, that Jesus wants to heal our brokenness. He wants to heal our deep wounds that nobody else can see. He's here with us this morning, our Emmanuel, God with us. He's here, and when he walks into the room, as the song says, everything changes, right? You walk into the room, everything changes. And he's here. He's walked into the room. He wants to increase our hope and our faith. He wants to take away our fears and our doubts. He wants to take away our pain and our sins and our unbelief. He's already paid the price for it. He wants to heal us. He wants to give us life, praise God. Jesus' heart went out to the widow in Luke's gospel, and his heart goes out to every one of us here this morning, right now. The question is, how are we going to respond? So I think we need to pray about that. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'll have a word of prayer. If you need prayer for anything, you come up and join me up here. If you want to pray with where you are, if you want to get off by yourself somewhere, if the Lord has put something on your heart that maybe you have a word for somebody, by all means, don't blow that off. Go tell him, hey, I may be wrong, but this is what I feel God wants you to know this morning. That builds faith. That kind of stuff builds faith. Some of you know Bobby during worship will come up to somebody, tap him on the shoulder and say, I believe God wants me to tell you something. But she's careful and she struggles with it. She doesn't just jump at it. She, are you sure, God? Are you sure, God? Are you sure, God? And then finally it's like, go. So she goes. So anyway, if that's you, by all means, listen to him. Obey him. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you brought us all here safely. Thank you that we have a car to drive that starts most of the time. Thank you that we have clothes to wear and food to eat. Thank you that we had a bed to sleep in last night. Not everybody does. We don't think of that all the time, but not everybody had a bed to sleep in tonight. And not everybody has food to eat today. And Lord, when you saw those people on the hillside and the disciples wanted you to send them away, you had compassion on them. Give us your compassion that our hearts would go out to people like your heart went out to this widow in this story this morning, because we need to be more like you. Oh, God, help us to be more like you and less like ourselves. And I pray, Father, whatever's going on in our lives, you've got the answer. You are the answer. You know what it is. And your heart goes out to us this morning. So I just pray whatever's going on in all of our lives, Lord, you're already there ministering. You're bringing the healing. You're bringing the restoration. You're bringing the forgiveness. You're taking away the hurt and the pain and the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. And you're just strengthening us in the inner man where you choose to live in here, in our hearts. Holy Spirit, have your way with us today. Lead, guide, and direct us as we leave here today in Christ's name, and bring us back safely next week. Amen and amen.